Hi, everybody. This is Moco's Most Famous. My name is Joe Yashroff. We're coming to you from our podcast studios right near the train tracks in Rockville at Montgomery Community Media. Today is a very special day. Why, you ask? Did someone ask? Carolyn?
Yes.
Someone did ask. The reason is we have the legendary high school football coach Bob Malloy, who is joining us in studio today. Bob, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Joe, for having me. And yeah, you did overdo that title a little bit, but
I don't think I may have underdid it, actually. I mean, you know, when you think about, you know, 405 wins, 47 years, most victories in Maryland history, the list goes on. How many state championships? 8. 32 teams that were ranked in the Washington Post top 20 list, 8 number one teams. I mean, that's insane. I mean, that, you know, greatness, the definition of greatness is being great consistently over many years, and you were able to do that. And I'm not going to ask you what your secret was, but if you had to pick one thing, the reason for your success, can you name me one thing?
Easily, good players. We had a lot of good players everywhere I went, and you just hard work, great assistant coaches, and good football players. Coaches are coaches, but, you know, those guys on the field are what really get it done.
And, you know, that's true, obviously. Great coach. There hasn't been a coach in the history of sports that hasn't won without great players. But you have to get the great players, and you have to keep the great players, and you have to keep getting the great players. So how did you do that?
Well, you know, it's different places. Springbrook always had, you know, they were always 7-3, right there on the verge. And we came over in 74 and just, you know, a couple years later, it just exploded, you know. Well, then, you know, once you start winning, you know, a lot of people transfer in and so forth. And we had a really good string there. And then we moved to Sherwood, I guess, in 91, I think
92.
It was. 92, and, you know, that was tough sled in the first couple of years, we had a great class led by Tyree Foreman and Pat Salino and Graham Manley, and, you know, they got into playoffs their sophomore year, then they won it junior and senior year, and, you know, the word was out, you know, hey, this is a good place to go. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, it feeds on itself. You, sure. You have good players, and everybody loves a winner, so it encourages other people to yep. move in your area.
Yeah, you mentioned Pat Salino, who's now the current coach at Bullis, who coached Dwayne Haskins and others. So your tree, your coaching and playing tree is amazing. We're going to get to that. The one thing I wanted to get to at the top, there was an announcement recently, and I am a part of this, so full disclosure, I was asked to volunteer for the Montgomery County Sports Hall of Fame, and I always assumed that there was one that existed here in Montgomery County, and I found out that there wasn't. So we were starting up a new one. And the inaugural class was announced last week. And, of course, Bob Malloy's name is among the name of the group of six, including Katie Ledecky, the late, great Walter Johnson, who lived many, many years in Montgomery County, Dominique Dawes, Bruce Murray, the soccer player, Sean Springs, who was one of your great players. I wanted to ask you, what you've been in several halls of fame. I haven't even gone through the list, but what does this one mean to you?
It's hard to believe, really, to be even in the same conversation with gold medal winners and Walter Johnson is kind of embarrassing to me, to be honest with you. But, I mean, I'm happy to be there, of course. But, boy, there's so many other people that came out of Montgomery County who should have been in there way before me. But, you know, I'm sure they'll be in eventually.
It's going to take years to kind of catch up. I mean, literally, you're talking about the history of Montgomery County. So the first class, while some might argue it's the easiest one because there's so many to pick from, it's also the hardest one because there's about 150 people that people will say, well, how come this person's not in? How come this person's not in? Well, I can tell you without giving away too many secrets, there was no debate about Bob Malloy being in there. So now you're in the D.C. Sports Hall of Fame, the Baltimore Touchdown Club Hall of Fame, Maryland Coaches Association Hall of Fame, National High School Athletic Coaches Association Hall of Fame, Coach of the Decade. All right, I don't want to embarrass you because I know you don't like to hear the accolades. So what does it mean to you? I'm guessing you're as excited that Sean Springs is in with you as you are about yourself because he played for you and he was obviously a great football player and track athlete at Springbrook.
And a wonderful, wonderful wonderful guy. And, you know, we stay in touch, and he's just a friendly guy. If you – back when I was coaching, you know, if you ever, like, needed somebody to pick the kids up, he'd come out and talk to the kids and come – you know, we did camps in the summertime. He was always a guest speaker, and I couldn't get him. I recruited his two kids. He has twin sons that are pretty good players. I couldn't swing that, but he lives way down in Ashburn, Virginia. But to be a part of that group, especially with somebody that I coach, is, you know, it's a great thrill if I wasn't even involved in it, just to come see him, you know, and to have him be there with me is kind of hard to put in words. It really is.
And you told me what you just said, that you would have gone to this thing even if you weren't in it. And you were genuine about it, which I thought was so refreshing, because not a lot of people would think that. You're a Montgomery County guy through and through. You like people. People like you. And you appreciate great talent. And so I thought that was a great thing that you just, you know, you wanted to be a part of it, whether you were in it or not in it.
I'd love to meet Katie Ledecky, but
we're working on getting her there and that's Friday. Thank you for the plug. Friday, September 13th at the Silver Spring Civic Center. So I know you're going to have a ton of people there. Although the one problem is it's on a Friday night where they play high school football. So right. Some of your old coaches might not be able to make it that night.
Well, yeah, they're out of the old coaches that I had, almost all of them are still coaching, mm-hmm. you know, whether at St. John's or Sherwood or Pilate or Good Counsel. So, yeah, they'll have games. So that's okay. They've heard enough about Bob Malloy Hall of Fame. I'm sure they're happy to have an excuse to not come.
So speaking of high school games on Friday night, now that you're retired, what has that been like? Do you enjoy it? Is it difficult?
Very difficult the first year. Of course, I go to the Good Counsel games. I live 5 minutes away, and I go to most of their games. And Andy Stefanelli, the new coach, was our JV coach when I was there. He was there 10, 12 years with me. And so the offense and the defense is pretty similar. And so, of course, you know, I go to the games, and it was hard. You know, you want to say, why don't we run this? But, you know, it's not my call anymore. It's his call. So, but we do talk after every game, and he always asks me what I saw, and, you know, he's his own guy. He's going to do what he wants to do, and that's the way it is. But, you know, I always tell him a couple things, and he seems mm-hmm. to appreciate it. Every year it gets easier, though. You know, I don't miss those humid two-a-days. I don't miss those meetings till 11 o'clock mm-hmm. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night. I don't miss those at all.
But is it true that there's no such thing really as an ex-coach? I mean, once you're a coach for life. I mean, you cannot watch a game like I do, like a fan, you know, former sports media member, but you watch it as a coach, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, I always watch a line. And I mean, I find myself always keep a pen and a piece of paper with me. I write it down, you know, stuff that really interests me. You know, I have probably never going to use it or not, but I, you know, it's just if something I see something different, mm-hmm. it's just curiosity. I want to, what was that? You know, what do you think that was? And so, yeah, you know, once a coach, always a coach.
I asked Gary Williams this on this very podcast. You know, he's retired. He's in his 70s. You can't tell how old Gary is because he's had gray hair since I think he was 18. So he hasn't really changed in the last 4 years. So I asked him if he would consider coming back to coaching. And he surprised me by saying yes. So I have to ask you this question. If somebody came calling and said, Bob, will you come coach so-and-so? We need you. Would you think about it?
Sure, I'd talk to him, you know. Yeah. I kind of doubt it, you know. But, mm-hmm. I mean, you never say no.
Mm-hmm. So how has the game changed? I know you haven't been out of the game for very long. But has the game changed in that short amount of period?
Oh, yeah. I was basically we call 21, you know, tight end, two backs. And, mm-hmm. You know, we like to run the ball off tackle. But, you know, nowadays it's all one back throwing the ball, you know, 40, 50 times a game. I don't like that much. I like to run the ball with passing. But you know, you got the parents. What they see on Saturday afternoon is what they want to see their high school team
sure.
do. And then, of course, if you want to get the kids to come to your school, you got to have a modern offense. Even though, you know, the teams that usually run the ball well are the ones that are going to end up winning. You know, that's always the way it's been. This gets banned to blocking and tackling. But, you know, so therefore, if you have what they call old-fashioned offense, it's going to be hard to attract the kids to come to your school. So that, you know, that would be a problem for me. You know, you got a, you are what you are, and I'm a I'm an off-tackle guy. And nowadays, everybody's throwing the ball. And, you know, I mean, it's great stuff. If you can – my last couple of years, we tried to put the two together and do both. It's hard to do both. It's hard to be good at a wide-open offense and an off-tackle offense. It's kind of hard to do that.
Yeah. So you were head coach at Whitman in the early 70s. You mentioned Springbrook for 18 years, Sherwood for another nine, and then Good Counsel for your last 16 years. But before Whitman, before 1970, you were an assistant at DeMatha High School in the 60s. And so the first question is your experience with Morgan Wooten. He was there. What was your experience with Morgan Wooten?
Well, it goes back before that. I coached a little school called Little Flower, Catholic CYO school.
Yeah.
It's right off Mass Avenue. And, you know, I did that 6 years. And the last year we won the city championship. And the game was played at Carroll, and that was really a thrill. And I still got it on film, but believe
really?
It. Really? Yeah, Super 8.
Oh, my God.
But I still got it on film. I don't think I have a projector to show it, but I got it on film. But anyway, you know, and Morgan and Joe and Moss Collins, they came to all the games because all those kids went to the Catholic high schools. And our last team in 1966, we had four kids off that team that played six kids that played college football off an eighth-grade team. Billy Maloney is one name, is one of the best prep I ever had. But anyway, so Morgan, you know, I got to know Morgan, and he asked me to come over and coach at DeMatha. So I was there 3 years with him, 4 years with him. And, you know, I thought I knew football, you know. You know, I started over. I was ground zero. But more than anything, Morgan was at that time, Morgan was the head football coach, the head basketball coach, the athletic director, and he taught three periods of history.
Oh, my God.
And this was 1967. And, you know, but just watching him deal with press and parents and kids, and it's just every day was like bring a notebook and write it down, you know. And I to this day, and I call him once a week and say hi, you know, and I never did anything in my whole life without checking with him.
Really?
And getting his opinion.
That's
and
amazing.
Except getting married. He wasn't involved in that one. But, you know, as far as changing jobs and I mean, he got me the first job from DeMatha. He had told me, you know, he said, hey, when you're ready to make your move, you know, let me know. I'll do what I can. So the Whitman job opened up, and the principal's name was Dr. Daryl Shaw. So Morgan always liked to ask questions he already knew the answer to. So who's the principal over there? And I said, his name's Dr. Shaw. Morgan says, hold on. And he calls him up, gets him on the phone. And he says, okay, good, okay, thank you. So he tells Bob, he puts the phone in and says, you got the job. Well, I didn't know that Morgan went to Blair and Dr. Shaw was his principal.
Okay.
And Morgan knew him, you know. And, you know, but he did say, you got the job. And I did. I did get the job. It was all because of him. And so he, you know, just being around a guy like that who's, I mean, one of the greatest coaches, he could coach any sport anywhere and win. You know, that's just the way he was. So that was quite a thrill.
When John Wooden, who some consider the greatest basketball coach, the greatest coach of all time, says you're the greatest coach of all time, there was some quote, I can't remember exactly what it was, but he basically said he was the greatest basketball coach he'd ever seen. And this is a college coach saying that about a high school coach. That's pretty good praise, and of course you gave him pretty good praise. So what was it about Morgan? What made him such a great teacher? Was he a great communicator? Was he just smarter than everybody? What was it?
Everything. It's hard to say. You know, football wise, he was. You know, his real interest was basketball. But football, you know, he played football, and he knew enough. He just kept it simple. But he could get those kids to run through a wall for him, and that's the way he was. And he very, very seldom raised his voice and never cursed. And he would talk to a guy like Kenny Roy and say, come on, Alice, you got to play a little harder than that. And, you know, somebody, you know, somebody would get decked real quick after that. He just had a way with him, you know. And, of course, he was football, so the basketball players – played football back then because they wanted to be around Coach Wooten. When he stopped coaching, they lost some of the two-sport guys, you know. But he just had a way with parents, with everybody. He was. I'm so fortunate to learn from him.
So I mentioned you're a big Montgomery County guy. You've lived here for a long time. I know you love it. You know everybody. Our engineer today is Carolyn Raskauskas. You guys were talking about Bethany Beach, and you know her family. She knows your family. You're the kind of guy that you walk down the street and you basically know everybody. That's got to make you – you're like the mayor of Montgomery County, even though Montgomery County doesn't have a mayor. But how does that feel that you're such a part of the fabric of the community?
It's really not quite like you make it out, but
– I think it is.
Yeah, you know, I like people but in my job, you know, back in the day, you'd have 150 kids in math class each semester. Mm-hmm. That's 300 kids right there. Then you have 100 football players. So, you know, you came in close contact with 400 kids every year. Well, over 47 years, you know a lot of people and you know a lot of their parents. And then, you know, with everybody else, you know, believe me, Coach Lester, you know, Coach Harville, those kind of guys, you know, the ones that have been there a long time, they know a lot of people. A lot of people know them.
So what is it about Montgomery County? I'm guessing you had chances to leave and go other places, other jobs, other areas. What's your attachment to Montgomery County?
Well, I guess I've been here, I guess, 73 years, lived here. And my mother we live right there, kind of in the Churchill area, mm-hmm. Seven Locks Road and Bradley Boulevard. Mm-hmm. And so my first job, Whitman, is where everybody in my neighborhood went to school.
Yep.
And it was really fun because you knew half the people there. And just, I guess, knowing people and liking it here. And I've lived here. I live in Olney now. And it's a very, very nice county. I mean, you couldn't do much better, in my opinion.
And I went to Whitman as well back in the day, a little bit after when you left. But so we go back to the geodesic dome at Whitman. There was actually a dome at Whitman for any millennials or young folks listening. There was a dome where they played basketball. Isn't that wild that there was a dome at Whitman?
Yeah. My name was on that dome a few times when I went from Whitman to Springbrook. When Springbrook came over to Whitman, there was, you know, I never forget one time. I got a photograph of it too. Malloy is a donkey on the dome, about 20 feet high. You know, I mean, 20. The letters are about 10 feet high.
Really?
But they would get up there, and there was always graffiti on top of the dome. And I'm proud to say I made it a couple of times.
That's a great story. We are talking to the legendary coach Bob Malloy, and we'll be back on Moco's Most Famous in a minute. See you soon.
MCM, your community media center, is making Montgomery County a great place to live through programs like 21 This Week. Montgomery County's hardest-hitting political talk show keeps you up to date with the local political scene. Montgomery Community Media. Our middle name is Community.
We are back on Moco's Most Famous. My name is Joe Yashroff. We are speaking with the legendary coach, Bob Malloy, coached at Walt Whitman. He coached a lot of places before that, but head coach at Walt Whitman, Springbrook, Sherwood, Good Counsel, retired 2016. It's been 3 years. We've talked a lot about the old days. I want to know, you have a lot of guys playing on Saturdays in college, and you have a lot of guys playing Sundays in the NFL. The list is long, so you watch these games with great interest, I'm guessing.
I do. I look forward to the weekends and seeing those guys play and rooting for them, and it's just great fun for me.
I don't have the list in front of me, but I mean, obviously you got Stephon Diggs, you got Jelani Jenkins, you've got Kendall Fuller, who used to be with the Skins, then was traded in the Alex Smith acquisition. So when you watch these guys, obviously you're watching with great pride, but describe what it's like watching these guys that you shaped and helped prepare for college and for the pros.
Well, you know, it's a thrill. I was watching a game, Kansas City. The first play of the game, I think in the first or second exhibition game, Kendall comes out of the secondary and hits a guy and calls a fumble. And so I sent him a text, you know, right away, which, you know, I knew he'd get later on, said, who taught you to do that? I never saw you do that at Good Counselor. Because we always kidded Kendall about – he was kind of a finesse guy. He wasn't a real headhunter. And so he called me right after the game. I've always been like that, he said. And I said, no, you weren't. You weren't always like that. But he – I mean, you know, stuff like that's a lot of fun.
You mentioned finesse. He's a like a slot corner, correct, in the NFL, something?
Right now, although it looked like the other day he was playing some safety.
Oh, really? Okay.
But,
so he moved
you
around.
Know, he is starting for Kansas City, right?
That's great. And Kansas City might you know, they could be Super Bowl champs.
They
so
could be.
You might
they
be getting
be.
A call to come join them well, wherever the Super Bowl is next year.
If they had won that championship game.
Oh, yeah. And they could have and should have.
We'd have had three guys in the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
You know, and I'd have had the good of that because
– Wait, so who did you
Kendall have? Fuller was a safety for the Chiefs. Dwayne O'Daniel was a rookie linebacker from Clemson. He was in Kansas City. And Blake Countess was a special team guy for the Rams. And we had – they were all teammates back at Good Counsel. And, you know, I've never been to a Super Bowl before, so that
– Really?
That would have given me the incentive to try to go.
Wow. I wish I'd known that. I would have been rooting even harder for the Chiefs against the Patriots. And you know, there were a couple of calls that could have gone either way. It was a great game. So Patrick Mahomes, you mentioned the Chiefs. He sits his first year. A lot of coaches want the rookies to play. We've got Dwayne Haskins as an example. A lot of fans want him to start, but clearly the Skins front office and coaching staff doesn't feel like he's don't feel like he's ready. Mahomes sat his first year and then last year lit it up. What do you think of him? Obviously, he's special, but how special do you think he can be from what you've seen?
He does things that are, you know, you can't coach. He's just phenomenal and so much fun to watch. I mean, you know, as long as he gets down, doesn't get hit, I mean, there's no telling what he'll do. You know, those guys, those quarterbacks, they do get hit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's why they get paid all that money. But he's just exciting to watch play football.
You mentioned quarterbacks getting hit, so I can't not ask you about Andrew Luck, who just yesterday stunned the world by the report came out that he was retiring. And there was a lot of flack. There was a lot of support. There was a lot on both sides. Where do you stand on Andrew Luck at the age of 29 deciding he's not playing anymore?
100% behind it. I mean, I get up every day and something different hurts. And it takes you about 3 hours to kind of loosen up. And he's probably 100 times worse than that. And, I mean, he probably can't play the way he's used to playing because of his injuries. And, I mean, you know, who has anybody else got the right to criticize him if he just can't perform the way he wants and he's in pain 24/7? I mean, I think he's good for him.
Totally agree. And I think it was very inappropriate, irresponsible, just stunning to hear some of the things being said. The fans booing, you know, I guess I can understand. They didn't understand what was going on because it literally was just happening in front of them and it didn't make any sense, although I still think it was shameful. But some of the people on social media doing what people do on social media, judging, and like you said, who are people to tell this guy what he can and can't do and what his body can't. He's thinking about his life and holding babies and living
Absolutely.
A normal life.
Absolutely.
And, so I thought that was it. Like a lot of things, it brings out the best and worst, you know, social media does. But anyway, so thank you for your opinion on that. Who do you like to watch in the NFL besides your guys? Who would you pay to watch? Is there a player now or in the last few years or even going back, you know, Gale Sayers? I mean, however far back you want to go. That you would pay, you would have paid to see?
Well, I guess right now would be Mahomes, you know, for Kansas City.
Sure.
Plus, I got two guys on the team. But
exactly.
Yeah, he was I was very fortunate. My father was a huge football player and fan. And we had tickets to the Redskins back, you know, at the old Griffith Stadium. Down, you know, where the Wonder Bread factory was right across the street, and you know, the big wall, and where Mantle hit his home run. You know, So I went to every Sunday. You know, I went to every game for probably Redskins game for 30 years when it went to RFK and all that. But
so you saw the Sonny Jurgensen teams where they had Bobby Mitchell and all those guys. They score a lot of points, but they'd lose games because they couldn't stop anybody, right?
Right, yeah. But Jurgensen I mean, one of the biggest thrills in my whole life was after we won a championship at Springbrook, about 1986, I got invited to be on a radio show with a couple of the captains. and we had to go all the way down to Redskin Park. And we're sitting there doing the show, and Coach Gibbs walks in, and he stops, you know, and when the show was over, he said, "Hey," he said, "I saw some highlights of your game." He said, "Pretty good stuff." Then he's, you know, basically invited us to training camp. And so for the rest of his career, four or five of us went up there, stayed in the dorms.
This is Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Carlisle,
correct?
Pennsylvania.
Yep.
And Gingerbread House.
Oh, Gingerbread Man, yes.
Faye's Diner and all that. And we were there eating with the players and on the sidelines with Coach Gibbs. And we did that for about 5 years until the new ownership took over. And it was some kind of a thrill to be there. And the stuff you could learn, you know, you just wait till practice was over. And, you know, one day we grabbed, I think it was Dan Henning, but he, you know, we asked him about the hand signals, which were, you know, that was, you know, the pros do it. 2 years later, the colleges are doing it. 2 years later, the high schools are doing it. So it hadn't even got to the colleges yet at that point, I don't think. And you know, we were sending signals out, plays out, using hand signals, you know, that we had gotten from the Redskins offensive coaches. And myself and all the coaches, we'll never forget that. That was quite a thrill.
So if you had not talked to any other coaches in your life besides Morgan Wooten and Joe Gibbs, that's pretty good, those two right there, right?
Yeah, but, you know, of course you didn't talk to Coach Gibbs too much.
He was, no?
He was too busy. I mean, he would always be friendly and everything, but, you know.
Or at least learning, watching him.
Just watching him deal with people and you know, one night they had a, you know, they had people – after practices or scrimmages, people from the Vienna area would bring up like 8 million ribs or wings or crab cakes or stuff. And it got a little loud down there at one night. Coach Gibbs shows up in his bathrobe. And I wish I had a – that was before cell phones. I wish I, wish I had a camera. I'd like to have a picture of that. But that quieted that party down pretty quick. He was a no-nonsense guy. And,
yeah.
Nice as he could be, though. He really was a nice guy.
You mentioned Carlisle. I remember when I worked at Fox 5 for years, so we would go up every year. And they had custard, frozen custard, which at the time was a big deal. There was a place called Massey's just around the corner. So eating that soft ice cream.
Your boy Ernie Bauer was the producer of the whole thing.
Yes, he was.
We'd go up there and watch a game. They scrimmaged the Steelers, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, Ernie invited all of us into the trailer where they – where they were
the TV truck,
isn't
he amazing?
Eye-opening.
Ernie Bauer, for those that don't know, 50 years in sports television, one of my mentors at Fox 5 and at Comcast Sportsnet, and a good friend of Bob Malloy. So we have Ernie in common. Everybody knows Ernie, and everybody knows Bob. I can tell you that. Any good Ernie stories you want to share?
Well, you know, he you're right.
He's, that you can do on the podcast.
He's a really, really friendly, popular
guy.
He's a wonderful guy, and I didn't realize how funny he was, though, but he did. I listened to his Andy Alkerhauser's Our Town podcast, and he was telling stories about, you know, he produced the Sonny Jurgensen show.
Yes.
And Monday night, he said, I guess the show was on Channel 9, and he was a producer, but the Redskins came over after practice, and they got there. They gave him free dinner at the Dancing Crab. And so 2 hours later, now they're on the TV show, and the stories that came out of that was a very, very funny.
That was a popular hangout, the Dancing Crab, absolutely.
And the Redskins took advantage of the free dinner on Channel 9.
I'm sure they did.
It was on Monday, so I guess they didn't have practice on Monday. So they got there at 5 and then got on the show at 7:30. And a lot of interesting things came about. But hearing Ernie tell the stories was really funny.
All right, so Carolyn, our multi-talented engineer, she's not just an engineer, but for today she's an engineer. You guys were talking in the break, and so she wants to know, if they made a movie about you, what kind of movie would it be? I mean, I want to know this too.
Boring.
Boring? I mean, come on.
It would be very boring, and nobody would come, so.
It wouldn't be like Gipper? It wouldn't be like the win one for the Gipper?
Honestly, I was not a good athlete at all, but I love the game.
Yep.
And you know, I got into coaching on a freak thing. My younger brother was playing for Little Flower, as we said earlier, and he came home one day, and I said, "Well, how's it going?" He said, "The coach quit. You know, the coach left." So I called the priest up and said, "Well, I'll do it." You know, I was at Bullis Prep at that time, and so the priest said, "Well, I don't have anybody else. So, you know, You can do it until
always happens that way.
He said, you can do it until I find somebody else.
God.
Well, he never found anybody else. Here I am. But
47
so
years.
That's how I got into coaching. And it just after about a month of it, I said, oh, wow, this is me. You know, this is what I like doing and like being around kids that keep you young. So that's how I got into it. But really, it's just having good players and a great AD, great administration. And just hard work. I mean, we used to meet, you know, for 47 years. We met Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday night till 11 o'clock at night, watching film and, you know, debating what we're going to do and arguing. And I mean, some of those Springbrook Churchill nights, they went till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then you had to be at school at 7:15 the next morning. I don't miss that. But I'll never forget it. Well, my top assistant, Tommy Kroll, I mean, we were the other guys would go home around 11, and we'd be there at 1 o'clock, like Churchill week or DeMatha week or whatever it was. You know,
it's not as glamorous as some people think being a
well,
coach.
You know, if you went out and you won, it's all worth it. But then you can still work like that and get smacked around too, and it's not so much fun.
Are you like a lot of coaches that you remember the losses more than the great wins?
I remember both. I mean, I remember, you know, you can't forget those great wins, but some of those losses, you try to forget them, but they stay with you.
They do. And Gary, I mentioned Gary Williams earlier. I'll mention him again. So the game that keeps him up at night is 2010. They play Maryland plays Michigan State. They had Draymond Green and Terps had Gravis Vasquez. And had they beaten Michigan State, this was in the tournament. I can't remember. It was a quote unquote easy road to the Final Four had they gotten past Michigan State, and it was a freak way that they lost it. And he said that game still keeps him up sometimes, or he wakes up thinking about it. So you have some of those?
I got two of them.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was recent. We had DeMatha, and DeMatha was very, very good. And we had them like 4th and 17. Yeah, we stop them. You know, we go ahead and we win the game and win this championship. And 4th and 17, and they hit that wide receiver who went down to Virginia Tech and set just graduated last year. I can't remember his name, but he came across the middle and outran everybody and beat us, you know, within the last minute of the game.
Yeah.
Well, he's still doing that,
yeah.
And I'm sure he's in the NFL right now. And that was a tough one. Then we had one, you know, at Sherwood. We were 4th and 1 on about their 30-yard line, I called timeout, and I told the Tiz, I said, hey, we're going to go on 2, and if we don't jump, they will. If you don't jump, you're the state champions because we get a first down, game over. And we went on 2, and about 4 of them jumped, but one of my guys jumped too. They got the ball back, and they beat us like on the last play of the game, and that hurt. That really hurt because we should have, you know, if we just didn't jump, you know, we beat them.
Wow. Okay, so that's the bad. So let's now the good. So if you had to pick one game or one play good, what's the one game or the one play that
Well, there's a lot of them, but the one I remember, one of the ones I really enjoyed, we're playing Gonzaga, I think in 2010, and we're playing at Maryland or Navy, and the first play, we have Stephon Diggs, and he's the wide receiver. So we're playing Gonzaga, and the first play of the game, we run what we call fly sweep, and Stephon comes across, and the ball's hiked to the quarterback, and he hands it to him inside, and Stephon, it's a sweep, basically a sweep, but the guy from the other side, so they got to rotate the secondary. So Stephon's got the ball about our 25-yard line, first play of the game, and Gonzaga had maybe 5 guys waiting for him. I mean, 5 guys. Stephon stops. He reverses the field. He ran through every one of them, went 80 yards for a touchdown. And I turned to the coaches and I said, now that's good coaching there. I mean, Gonzaga did everything in their power. You know, that's what I'm talking about, how coaches are a little bit overrated.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they had him stopped. I mean, they defended the play as well as you could. Stephon ran through all of them and scored a touchdown. We're winning 7-0. And you know, it's funny to me, you know, because I had Stephon Diggs. But and I'll never forget that play. That was some play.
And he's still doing that kind of thing in the NFL.
He's still doing it.
Okay, so if I call a few of your players right now on the phone and ask them about Bob Alloy, what are they going to tell me?
I never thought about it. That's a good question. You know, I tried to be their friend. You know, I enjoyed being with them. We tried to laugh, you know, and always did. And, you know, but sometimes you had to be the disciplinarian, and they didn't like it. But, I mean, you know, I always talk about the first day, you know, say, hey, look, you know, we can't have any hazing, and you got to be on time, and no stealing. So, you know, if you need something, you come to us, and we'll take care of it. You know, if you need to borrow some money, you don't have lunch money, bus fare, whatever, we'll get you home. We'll loan you the money, but don't steal from your teammates. Some usually worked. Sometimes people did, but it wasn't fun dealing with them, but you had mm-hmm. to. Because, you know, that locker room, they know what's going on, you know. And they, sure. if something happens, all eyes are on you to see what's the big boy going to do about it.
Right.
You know, and so you had to do something.
I don't mean to keep bringing up Coach Williams, but another thing he's told me on the podcast and elsewhere is that the one of the best parts of retirement is when he was coaching and the phone rang after 9, 10 o'clock in the evening, he knew it couldn't be good. He doesn't have to worry about that anymore. Is that something that you share?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I used to do a few talks in clinics, football clinics, you know, and the last couple years was always, 10 mistakes I made, you know, that you don't want to do.
Sure.
And one of them is you don't ever answer the phone game night because it's from a parent, you know, it's never going to be good. I mean, you know, if the kid isn't playing, then they're going to yell at you because he isn't playing. Mm-hmm. If he is playing, well, he only threw the ball 10 times. You should have been throwing the ball 25 times.
Right.
So you just never deal with a parent the night of the game.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, you know, everything's settled down. Then you try to hopefully talk to them and everything. But that's one of the – now, you don't answer the phone game nights because, I mean, everybody could be as happy as they could be. You could have had a great win. But if little Johnny, you know, didn't play the whole game, you know, you got somebody that doesn't like you.
Absolutely.
And that's – unfortunately, that's really becoming a big deal nowadays in high school football, football everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, even I was talking to Ralph Friesen. He said he had parents coming in, you know – complaining to him, you know, I find that hard to believe.
Sure.
But it's all over.
You talked about how you got into coaching sort of accidentally. I'm sure you've thought about this. What if that hadn't have happened, if you had not become a football coach, what would Bob Malloy have ended up doing?
You know, I never had that question either. But I went to Bullis Prep. I was prepping to go to the Naval Academy. And when I got into coaching, I mean, I coached that little flyer team, which was 0-4-1 first year, and I still have breakfast once every couple of weeks with about five or six of those guys that were on that team.
Hmm.
We still meet for breakfast or happy hour, one or the other, you know, at least once every 6 weeks. And you know, I'll never forget those kids. You know, I knew that's what I wanted to do. If I hadn't, I'd probably end up coaching somehow, mm-hmm. somewhere, you know. It had worked out because I was a business major in Maryland, but I just couldn't see being an accountant or something like that.
Well, I can safely say that many people are glad that you got into coaching. You touched a lot of lives. You still continue to touch a lot of lives. And I can't thank you enough, Bob, for joining me and Carolyn here today on Moco's Most Famous. Really, really want to thank you for coming today.
I'm honored to be invited, and thank you very much.
And Bob, open invitation. Anytime you want to come back, you are free to come back. Again, want to thank Carolyn Raskauskas, the engineer with the most. That doesn't really rhyme, but that's the best I can do. Thanks for listening to Moco's Most Famous from Montgomery Community Media, and we will see you the next time.